All right, welcome back in. Hour number three of this Tuesday edition. It's Sturge, it's Kevin Thomas, and of course, Sports Talk's most decent producer at Diesel on radio. And if it's 6 p.m. on Tuesdays, that means it's a Dabo press conference day, and it's our buddy Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. You can follow them on Twitter at ClemSportsNews. And Gary, the first question's not about South Carolina at 7 p.m. on Saturday. What flavor were the cupcakes at the press conference for Dabo Swinney's birthday, and how many did you have?
I had one. I just licked the frosting off the top, guys.
Doing
the Atkins thing right now. But, orange cream.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, usually, you know, you take something to the birthday person. They don't provide things for you, but happy 49th to Dabo Swinney.
Sturge, I bet you're the kind of guy who licks all the frosting off and then eats the cupcake.
No, I lick all the frosting off, and then I put the cupcake back in the box and go for the next one. It's kind of like romaine lettuce, Gary McDaniel. Stay away from it, even if you are on the Atkins diet. But that doesn't mean Clemson can't have some chicken for dinner on Saturday night. And I didn't mean that to sound snarky, but the South Carolina Gamecocks are coming into town. And listen, it's been quiet. You know, Bob called up earlier talking about, you know, not much smack talk going on this week. And you know what? I still maintained when we were growing up, Gary, this game was a Saturday before Thanksgiving, so it was a lot more intense. I don't see the nastiness come out till Friday now.
Yeah, it comes out a little bit later in the week when people get closer to the game and they start reminiscing about days of old and comeback games and things like that start coming around. And they get a little, you know, and then you got to remember on game day, there's a thing called alcohol that gets involved that changes everybody's thought process a little bit as far as the outcome goes. But, yeah, this year the expectations in Columbia, actually, they were actually higher coming into the season than they are now. I think about midseason, everybody kind of checked up down there and decided that, hey, this isn't going to be quite the team we thought it was going to be. We're not getting the consistency out of the offense, and we got some issues on defense and the injuries. A lot of injuries to that back end of that defense, and it's taking a team that even I thought at one time was going to challenge for 9-10 wins and maybe possibly challenge Georgia for an Eastern Division title, and they're fighting for bowl pecking order at this point.
So let me ask you this. You have a lot of interviews with players today up on the Twitter page as well as at ClemsonSportsNews.com. What was the attitude? Because you can't win a game on Tuesday. It is rivalry week. We talked to Reggie Merriweather earlier, and he's like, you know, the coach can give you all the coach speak, but you know there's a little different feeling when you're playing your in-state rival on Saturday. So what did you feel from this team? Because one thing they have remained throughout the year is even keeled.
Agreed, and that's what I was going to come into and tell you. The word from all the guys, it's that they all reiterated the same thing. From Dabo Swinney all down, all four or five players we saw today all said the same thing. Emotion is not going to win this game. It's how you go out and do your job and maintain yourself and do what you planned on doing walking into the game. That's what's going to win the ball game. Emotions are not going to factor in. You can get all hyped up and everybody can get fired up before kickoff, but once they snap that ball, it's how you execute that matters.
Hey, Gary, Kevin Thomas here. Did Coach Swinney give any big updates on injuries going ahead into this week?
Yeah, everybody's good to go. Hunter Renfro's still day-to-day is the word from him. He said, you know, Hunter looks good, but he is still listed as day-to-day. I don't think, you know, they haven't actually come out and told us he has an actual concussion. So, you know, we haven't even been told he has a concussion yet. It's just that he had concussion-like symptoms. So I'm thinking he'll play. I think he'll be ready to play come Saturday, but that's just me. But Coach Swinney is known to be quite optimistic with his injury reports.
No doubt. As we continue with Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com, follow them at ClemsonSportsNews. So, you know, the reality is, even though it's South Carolina week, every game for Clemson is a record-breaking opportunity. You know, last week it was the 51st win of this senior class, most in ACC history, and they get a chance to keep adding on this year. Number two, Clemson looking for a 100th win this decade, they would join only Alabama and Ohio State in that category. So it gives you a little idea of the rarefied air in which this football program's operating.
Yeah, you didn't get to sit back and pinch yourself every once in a while. It wasn't just a few years, seasons removed. This football program and its fan base were, hoping just to get into the ACC championship game. And now they're expecting that. That's just part of the season. That's part of their schedule every year. It's considered part of the schedule. And, top-tier bowl games and going to the playoffs are now the norm. And it's just a strange position for this fan base to be in. Like I said, you spend years looking around college football's landscape and wondering how a program can do this and how a program can do like that and what it would be like for your program to be number one. And now this team has seen that success and recruits at a level that, it's just the way this team recruits is what has set them up for where they're at. Honestly, the offensive and defensive lines were only things that Clemson had always negated in their recruiting, and I think that's where they paid attention the last 5 years, and you can see that by this year's result. 4 years later, you got four guys going to the NFL in the first two rounds. It's rarefied air. For sure.
So let me ask you this. Clemson doesn't recruit the state as hard as they used to. Now they'll go out and get people from all over the country. I think they got, 13 commits from 13 different states in next year's class already. Does that mm-hmm. change any of the talk today as compared to like a Gage Cervinka that grew up here in the state of South Carolina? Because I maintain, and I'd love your opinion on this one as well, as big as Michigan, Ohio State is this weekend, that's a classic football game. It doesn't carry the intensity of a Clemson, South Carolina, Alabama, Auburn, the in-state rivalry games where you have to live with your neighbor every single day, 365.
Yeah, and the biggest difference there is there's no pro football teams in Alabama or in South Carolina. There you go. This is the game. This is what these two states look for in 365 days, 24/7. They live it, like Dabo said, like everybody here knows. And going back to our childhood, like you said, it was wait till next year was always the saying from one of the team, whichever team lost. Wait till next year was the thing. And this year, Dabo and this team they're taking this in a very confident and calm approach. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a team more calm. But we did talk to the guys today about the out-of-state guys and getting them fired up. I asked Kendall and Gage both that them being in-state players, what it's like when you describe the rivalry to the kids from out of state, the Jackson Carmans, the Trevor Lawrences, the Xavier Kellys, the Christian Wilkins, who's been here for a while, but all these guys were from out of state at one point. And, it's just hard to wrap your head around the rivalry if you're not here in the region or in the area.
Gary, there's a pretty big spread on this game, 26.5 points right now. Is there something the Gamecocks can do to really pull this upset, or is it more about the Tigers having to have their C or D game on Saturday night?
I'd be honest with you, this Gamecock football team is perfectly capable mm-hmm. if they put everything together of winning this football game, guys. It would be a miracle, yeah. But I mean, they have got talent. They got talent that can equal Clemson's talent, skill talent. I think this is a matchup. Kind of an issue for Clemson coming on Saturday night because this is a good offensive line, not a great one, but a really good one that's really improving with some good pieces like Zach Bailey in there. And they're skilled guys. So you're talking about Brian Edwards and Shai Smith, and, of course, you've got Debo Samuel out there who can really take a play in about 2 seconds and turn the ball game around. Their offensive running game is a little bit nicked up here and there. Can't keep a consistent guy back there in the backfield. And Bentley has, it's – I don't know if you guys see what I see, but for the last 3 years, every time I see the guy get pressured, he seems to not be able to get on target. And that seems to be, if they can get those things locked in, they could give Clemson a really good game. That 26 points is a little too much in my eyes.
I'm with you on that one. In South Carolina, this is A, why you play the game, B, it's a rivalry game, Gary, and C, if South Carolina can't be more competitive than that, then guess what? That nullifies the argument that Clemson doesn't play anybody week in, week out in the ACC. So I think there's a lot of pride involved with South Carolina on Saturday night as well.
Well, they've been outscored like 131-49 over the last three games against Clemson. So their pride is definitely on the line. They're going to come in with a big chip on their shoulder. They're coming in their in-state rival, number two in the nation, got a chance to knock their dreams out, take them out of the playoff race. I mean, this would make their season. This would be a bowl game to them.
Yeah, all right. Before we go, Clemson, the only major college team or school out there that still has an undefeated football team and an undefeated basketball team, is Clemson improved to 5-0 with a 15-point win over Tom Crean's Georgia Bulldogs. And, you know, it'll be a big game tomorrow night, especially if you could get Creighton, because, you know, we now know Creighton's willing to offer $100,000 to a player through Adidas, if you know what I mean. So, you know, Coach Brad Brunell, he keeps getting double-doubles from Elijah Thomas, Marquise Reed, Shelton Mitchell kind of switched back from scoring 20 points per game. And listen, David Scar continuing to help this team. It's good times in Tigertown, basketball and football-wise.
Yeah, I think Scar is the biggest surprise, guys. He was known for his defense last year, but I think that was what they needed him for last year. Coach Brownell kind of told us that in a press conference last week, and told us, he said that, you know, the Scar's need was to, he needed somebody to fill a defensive spot, and he did. Now that there's some things have changed in the roster, David's been asked to score, and he's worked on his game, and it's coming through. I mean, what a pleasant surprise when you're looking to make up 30 points a game almost with the loss of Gabe, to look to Scar to come in and do what he's done so far this season. I'm looking forward to Monday. If they can get through this Cayman Islands tournament this week, and I think they will. They're going to come home Monday to a really good Nebraska basketball team coming in for this ACC Big Ten Challenge on Monday, and I think that's a great event to look forward to for this basketball team on Monday, and everybody needs to get out and support Brad's basketball team.
Absolutely. All right, you guys at ClemsonSportsNews.com, you'll have everything from interviews, everything you possibly want to know about the South Carolina game, but you also have a member on your staff that a lot of people around the upstate know as the Hat. His name's Dean Cox, and we want to give him a shout out because tonight at the Loom in Simpsonville, which Kevin Thomas and I know very well from being out there for a Taj Boyd event, Diesel was actually with us in a tie, believe it or not, Gary, but Dean Cox is having a fundraiser for Aaron Ritz, a young man that's become a huge factor in Dean's life, and he's battling some kidney issues. So people want to go out there and get in the holiday spirit here tonight. Head out to the Loom and help the Hat make a difference for Aaron Ritz.
It's actually tomorrow night.
Friday night.
It's before the Clemson South Carolina game. They have an excellent. If you know who Santa Paws is,
yes,
guys. Santa Paws is actually an entertainer as well. He's a singer, and he will be performing at this event, and Taj Boyd will be there. There'll be some folks from the Clemson Sports News staff there taking pictures and talking to folks about Clemson football and events coming up. And it's a great event. Aaron, I got my wristband on right now. Aaron's a great kid, a Clemson fan, got orange blood bleeding through his veins, and he's in desperate need of some help. And Dean put this event together to help him out, and it's the second one that Dean's put together for him in the last few months, and it's just a great thing. It's Friday night. You can go check it out on the Hat, Dean Cox on Facebook. You can find him there. Go to Clemson Sports News. We'll be putting a post up a little bit later tonight about the event and giving you some directions on how to get there and how to get your tickets. It's a great event, and all the proceeds go directly to Aaron and his family for his proceeds for all of his medical expenses.
Well, listen, that is another reason not to pay $19.99 for the Tiger Phil matchup on Friday night. So, Gary, thanks for, you know, we still got one more week before we get into the postseason as well. But thanks for all the Tuesday coverage of Dabo's press conference and all that you've done with Clemson Sports News. And even though you say you're on Atkins, don't eat lettuce this weekend. Romaine's out of it, so just avoid it all. If you do bounce off the Atkins thing, what's going to be the go-to thing on Thursday?
Oh, dude, there'll be a burger.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a classic burger guy. I was talking to Gage Chivanka today about our favorite burger joint back in Greenwood, where I grew up and where Gage is from. It's the Dixie Drive-In. Uh-huh. And if get a plug, I'm going to give them right now. Hey, guys at Dixie, if I ever come back through, I expect a bacon cheese plate with fries ready for me.
And if you don't bring a second one back for me, I am going to mess you all up, Gary McDaniel. All right, so, listen, have a great Thanksgiving, and enjoy the rivalry game this weekend. And thanks for all you do. Clemson Sports News, find you on Twitter at Clem Sports News.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Gary McDaniel. When we come back, it's your show. It's whatever you want to get into. We can get into Clemson, South Carolina. We can get into the NFL, or we can talk about the biggest disappointments in college football so far, because I got a list of them, you know what I mean? And it doesn't matter if you're in the SEC, the ACC, or somewhere in between. Guess what? I can take a shot at 844-GSP-ESPN. All right, welcome back in. We're coming down the stretch on this Tuesday edition. I really appreciate Kevin Thomas. You know what? I've had some good interns, but you've been a baseball coach, but you never made it to Double A, and you were never a former SEC Pitcher of the Year. So
sadly, I was not.
Yeah.
No.
So, David Marchbanks. You know, before we go to Will on the phone, the most fun I've ever had in my life was with David Marchbanks. You know, he had retired from Double A baseball, did not want to have another surgery, had already completed all of his classes at the University of South Carolina, because you remember he left after his junior year. And so he needed one internship to graduate. And I got that stack of papers from South Carolina. I remember holding in front of him and going, I can be bribed right now at this point. Let's go to Will on the phone lines. Will wants to talk Dabo versus Muschamp. Will, hope you're having a good Tuesday.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
You know what? I can feel the holiday week coming on.
Hey, that's great, man. That's what it's all about. Yeah. Just really quick, I had a chance today to look at my phone and seen where Will Muschamp made some statements about how Carolina fans shouldn't be patient with catching up with the success of Clemson, and I think that's absurd. I mean, to build a program that Dabo Swinney's built, don't get me wrong, guys. I was at the national championship game, graduated from Clemson in 07, and I am a big-time Clemson fan, but I think that anybody from any walk of life could really look and say that the work, the recruiting, the overall effort, attitude, atmosphere at Clemson is so much better than South Carolina. And I think it's absurd that Will Muschamp would tell South Carolina fans not to be patient in the process of trying to get really and truthfully where Clemson is now. Your thoughts?
Well, Will, I agree with that. And the fact that, number one, it's an 8-year build. Unless you're in Alabama or in Ohio State, it was an 8-year build for Clemson to get there. And it was a rocky year of going 6-7 and losing to South Florida up there in the Belt Bowl. But you know what? He went and made the right decisions. And that's when he hired the coordinators and let the coordinators coach. And that, to me, is when Clemson took off. But to me, the biggest thing, getting better on the lines of scrimmage. And it will take South Carolina longer to have that kind of dominance in the Southeastern Conference as compared to Clemson in the ACC. I will admit that every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. I mean, I just think it's, you know, I think that patience is required.
Yes.
think that for him, to, you know, I think for him to ask for those guys not to be patient, I think is could very well likely cost him his job. Listen, guys, you have a great Thanksgiving. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Will. You do the same. I think what he's trying to do is say the right things to the fan base. No, we don't want you being patient, you know, but wink, wink, wink. We know this is going to take longer. Because I don't think a fan base at this point, and it'll be interesting because I want to ask Billy this here in just a second. I don't think South Carolina fans also want to be told, hey, man, we're 2 to 3 years from catching up as well.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to have time because it's not just players. It's you got to get the right coaches in there, which I think they finally have with the offensive guy this year. You got to get the facilities built up. And it's not, you know, it's not one good recruiting class. You got to have two, three. You got to build depth. You can't just have a starting 22. You got to have guys behind them you can plug and play, you know, with it's. And it's going to take years. It takes a few years to get there.
And players are going to come and go. Listen, for the first time in a decade, Clemson's got a senior class. You know, that's made a huge difference on that team this year, especially with a true freshman quarterback. They have a senior class, and they've only had like 10, 11, and 12 due to attrition. You know what I mean? Hey, we missed on this guy. He's transferring out. So it took a better part of a decade to get to that point. Billy and Taylor's is in with us. Billy, hope you're having a good day. Happy Thanksgiving week, bro.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and Diesel and his family and your guests and his family.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of things. First of all, I mean, you can't do nothing but be patient at this point. Mm-hmm. If you're a South Carolina fan or alumni, there's no other choice. I don't think that, you know, I was on Greg's show last week, and we were grading the South Carolina Muschamp as a coach, and I gave him a B because this year I think he gets a C minus. Just a couple of games, I feel like he could have done a couple of things different, Florida and A&M. And they could have won those games. But you know what? You had to give them an A for last year, and you had to give them a solid B plus for 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think it evens out to about a B. Then you look at the recruiting that they're doing and the coaching staff he's put together, you know, and the facilities that they're building, which is more than just him. I know that's a total commitment by the university and the athletic department. But, you know, this reminds me a lot, honestly, Sturge. And I think you can see the comparisons of Bowden, and I'm not saying that Will Muschamp is going to be Bowden. I don't want you to misunderstand me on that point.
Right.
But you remember when Bowden was there, they were bringing in some pretty good recruiting classes, and he kept talking about, well, let's just be patient and see what's going to happen when we get the West End Zone project built. And they started bringing in better talent after that. Well, South Carolina's in the process of really upping their facilities, and I think we're going to see a improvement in recruiting in 2 or 3 years. I really believe that. In fact, we see an improvement in recruiting now. So
yeah, Clemson saw it as soon as they put the plans up for the West End Zone. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Things began to turn.
And they saw even more of it whenever they finished.
Right. Now, I will maintain this. You know, I don't think you would have been any better off with Tom Herman, who was obviously the number one choice.
No.
And here's why. It would have taken Tom Herman longer to develop recruiting ties here in the South as compared to Will Muschamp, who played safety at the University of Georgia, had been at Auburn, had been at Florida and everywhere else. So to me, I don't know what the upper trajectory of Texas football is, but it would have taken longer with Tom Herman than it would with Will Muschamp, just due he's not from the area.
Well, there was going to be no magical fix. I don't care who you brought in. It was just going to take time. And that's what we're seeing now. It has everything he touched turned to gold? No, it hasn't. But you could say the same thing about Dabo when he was first at Clemson, too. So
there was some.
Anyway, listen.
I was going to say there was some mumbling coming out of the Meineke Car Care Bowl in Charlotte when they lost to South Florida, especially when Taj Boyd, as a freshman, kind of went out there in the fourth quarter and went nuts. And they were like, really? You sat there and you protected Kyle Parker all year long? And blah. So, no, not everything was rosy at that point.
Well, even if you go back to after the fifth loss to South Carolina, they were a top 10 team at that point, and they were recruiting very well. But I was hearing a lot of rumblings coming out. Well, if we don't beat South Carolina next year, you know, I'm looking for a change.
Yep.
Anyway, quickly on this game, there's been four times. This is pretty unique, actually, that Clemson's been undefeated at 10-0 or better going into this game. 48, 50, 81, and 15. In those games, in 48, it was 13-7. In 50, it was 14-14 tie. In 81, it was 29-13. And then, you know, 3 years ago, it was 37-32. I think it's going to be much closer than the score. I'm not saying South Carolina's going to win, but I do think South Carolina's offense can put up points with anybody. Wolford has been a big improvement as far as offensive line. You can see it in the way that they play. They have improved every week. I don't think Clemson's going to get pressure like they have in the past. The key is going to be, is Bentley going to panic or not? If he doesn't panic, it's going to be close. Clemson will win either way. But if he panics, it's going to be a big blowout. Anyway, Sturge, I appreciate it, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Billy, and to your entire family as well. Here's the one thing that is tough on Bentley or any other quarterback. Bentley has a little bit of mobility, but you get pinched so hard from Cleveland Ferrell as well as Austin Bryant. You forget about Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence being in the middle. So, you know, Daniel Jones, who to me is a little bit more fleet of foot than Jacob Bentley is, I mean, he just couldn't get away from them in the second half last week for Duke, and it eventually took its toll on him. But, hey, he's right. There have been close games. It's a rivalry game. I hate the term, oh, throw out the books, blah, 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 throw out the records, but you just never know. And we'll take your opinion at 844-GSP-ESPN. What are also some of the disappointing things in college football for the 2018 season? Well, you got to start at Churchill Downs. Coming down the stretch on this Tuesday, we do have a show tomorrow from 4 to 7. We'll give way to Clemson Tiger basketball. They'll be in the championship game at the Cayman Island Classic. That's a 7:30 tip-off. We'll go straight to tomorrow night. Don Munson in the call of the game tonight. We have a replay of last night's Tiger calls, so you can call and listen to Dabo Swinney, but don't try to get in. That was actually recorded last night. Remember, we had Monday Night Football on. All right, so some things that sucked in college football in 2018. Well, first of all, we kind of jokingly said yesterday, everybody sucked. ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12. You, depending on who you talk to, oh, they suck, blah, 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 blah. So that was sort of the theme of the year. But Mother Nature kind of got things off to a rough start back in September. You know, Hurricane Florence up, caused a lot of cancellations. Think about this one on December 1st. South Carolina's got Akron coming in. Iowa State had their game washed out earlier this season in a massive lightning storm, if you remember. So they had I didn't even know. Until yesterday, there is a football-playing school out there called Incarnate Word. They are apparently in the Southland Conference, and they got a at-large bid to the FCS playoffs. Well, that was supposed to be Iowa State's December 1st makeup game. Obviously, they can't do it now, even though they're going to be available because they'll probably go down this weekend in the playoffs. So what do they do? You know, talk about throwing a bone. The new opponent for December 1st for Iowa State is in-state opponent Drake, a non-scholarship FCS program.
I'm sure the kids are going to love that. A lot of fun for Drake.
What a beat. And they don't need that game for bowl eligibility, maybe for a better bowl. But it's not like what Virginia Tech's doing if they knock off Virginia this weekend. All right. Other things that were bad this year in college football. I said it's got to start at Churchill Downs, and it's Louisville. It's cool. Not only their football team, their coaching staff now gone with Bobby Petrino, their fan base, and even the media. Talking about a completely unrealistic bunch. You know, I'd be mad if I was in the Louisville media and sat there and had Bobby Petrino give me this, hey, I think this is going to be the best team I've ever had. Most complete. Yeah, but first of all, Clemson fans that complain Lamar Jackson shouldn't have won the Heisman a couple of years ago may want to take that back and go, he probably should have won two in a row because there was no talent on that Louisville team. But how in the hell can Louisville football go winless this year in the ACC?
That's crazy. You know, like you said, they had a couple guys I thought who were going to still be there at receiver and running back who were going to be decent, but man, oh, man, Lamar Jackson must have been, you know, world beater, even better than we thought, it looks like.
That's what, first of all, the Heisman should not be awarded the second weekend in December now.
That's frustrating.
I think in today's day and age, you got to incorporate the college football playoff. That doesn't mean the winner has to come from one of those four teams. It's just those are big back-to-back games that if you're going to have the most valuable player of the college football season, so to speak, you got to take in the biggest of the games as well. But I have no problem now looking back on it going, God, that guy was tapped. They came down 2 years ago as a favorite over Clemson. This year, they close out giving up more than 50 points in six consecutive ACC contests.
That's unbelievable. You know, obviously we see Petrino is already gone, so I guess they have to start building that program again. But
now,
I mean,
the fighting going on between Purdue and Louisville.
Oof.
All right, first of all, we know Purdue's a good school. That's an engineering school. The Boilermakers, you know about Louisville is a glorified commuter school. It is, think of Central Florida and Louisville in a lot of the same ways. When I was living in Florida in the 90s, Central Florida was a commuter school. They were an FCS football program, even with Dante Culpepper as their quarterback. But they were a commuter school out there in Oviedo. Now that land has been annexed by the city of Orlando, so they have an Orlando mailing address now. But it is not that way. It is a big campus now. Louisville's going through that transition as well. The fact that Louisville fans are talking smack to Purdue fans is like, I don't know, trying to talk uphill.
Yeah, I don't really get where they get off doing that. I mean, like, they just got into a, you know, a real football conference a few years ago. They were in the Big East for a long time, or was it even Conference USA? Were they even in, Sturge? I don't know.
They were in the Big East, and because one of their bigger wins came in a Liberty Bowl back in the day when they kind of had a, you know, Diesel doesn't want anything about a Group of Five championship, but that was sort of de facto Group of Five championship game back in the day. It was Louisville and Boise State, if you remember. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, Purdue's, you know, had a really good season. I'll be surprised if Brohm decided to leave. You know, you got a guy like Rondell Moore coming back. You know, they've had several big wins. I know it's your alma mater. I guess that's a huge pull, but man, that'd be tough to leave right now.
Go fix that later on. You know what? Something doesn't work out elsewhere, Kevin. He is from the first family, is Jeff Brohm, of Louisville football. I think Scott Frost made a huge mistake in going back to alma mater, even though they've gotten much better as a year. They start off with 0-6 and may end up finishing 5-7. You're still learning how to be a head coach in year number three. Dabo Swinney would tell you that.
Yeah.
Why go do alma mater now? I would have gone done something else before alma mater, but it's also hard to turn down that money. Secondly, maybe money you talks. Never know if that opportunity is ever going to happen again. Now, one of the hot names on that coaching carousel headed into the year was Lane Kiffin. But don't look now. You know, we were talking about them being a contender for the Group of Five New Year's Six Bowl bid. They got off to a bad start at Oklahoma, and the season's gone downhill from there. And now you're talking about possibly not even making it to 6-6 in bowl eligibility. So, you know, I think college football is better when Lane Kiffin's in it.
Yeah, it's fun to see his tweets and antics and things like that.
But there's some rat poison that infected that program.
It's been a bad year for them. Like I said, you know, it's bad when you don't see Lane tweeting at, you know, Nick Saban or tweeting at, you know, Alabama or whoever it is each week. So you knew he was having a down year when he decided to kind of be quiet over there.
Then how about finally, before we get out to break, Auburn?
Whew.
Is there a more bipolar program in major college football than the Auburn Tigers?
You mean they start off with a huge win over Washington, you know, that week one game. People are thinking, okay, this team's for real, and then they just fall apart.
I mean, they'll win 11 games one year, come back with 7 the next, and 10 the next. I mean, there is no consistency. Gus Malzahn is thought of to be some offensive genius, you know, going back to the days at Springdale, Arkansas. And yet, here we are. I'm sorry, I'll say it. I get the fact that I'm a Bama guy. I want them going after Kelly Bryant for a one-year fix next year. I'm not knocking Kelly's ability as a quarterback. I'm just saying that doesn't fix the forward progress of Auburn football. That is a short-term answer to a long-term problem, which also allows me to believe if now they're in the mix this bad, they have a bad gut feeling that Jarrett Stidham has had enough of this. And you know what? If you've seen how many times he's been hit this year, he may have very well had enough of all this when it's said and done. But yeah, here is Auburn sitting on Malzahn, a $38 million buyout that Auburn gave him. You know what? What else do you expect when you handcuff your program like this moving forward?
It's, you know, I've always thought he was a good coach, but like you mentioned, they're so back and forth. Maybe he's not. Maybe he just kind of catches lightning in the bottle every couple of years and has the right players in there. But then, you know, when he doesn't have the talent, they kind of fall apart. So, you know, the Kelly Bryant thing, like you said, that's more of a Band-Aid than a permanent fix. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out for those guys.
And I see, you know, the dual threat in there. But, you know, I was convinced, and I still do think Stidham's got a chance to make it in the pros. But it's based more off what I saw in a year at Baylor than anything that I've seen at Auburn. But, you know, you're talking about a team that started off number 6 in the country this year, and assuming that they will lose in Tuscaloosa on Saturday, it will be a 5-loss season, and that's the fourth time that that's happened in Gus Malzahn's 6-year career at Auburn. I mean, what are you paying for? You got juked by the University of Arkansas into giving him a $38 million buyout. That's why Arkansas went and hired Chad Morris on the low and gave him $2.5 million and figured if we catch lightning in a bottle, great. But guess what? We can't afford to pay Billum's buyout and then go spend $80 million on a staff. And that's the problem. We hear, like with Auburn, if they did make a move on Gus Malzahn, and you saw his mouth on the sidelines at Georgia, they better not fire me over this. it's not just the buyout. It's what you got to put together for the entire new staff and coaches as well. That's only one part of it. We'll come back. We'll close up shop and see if anything's sticking on Kevin and Diesel's crawl when it comes to disappointments in 2018, kind of like, I don't know, Tuesday night football for the Sun Belt. So you guys are sitting in here in the ESPN Upstate radio studio watching an interview with Tiger and Phil right now. And you know what? This feels as contrived as year number three of Last Chance U at Independence Community College. Here they are. I've been in his head. Oh, I'm older. So, yeah.
It's almost like they got Sturge writing their jokes for them.
Yeah.
Actually, that's an insult. I couldn't write that well. But, yeah, no. I mean, we could do better than that. Come on, you know. All right, so getting back to it. Outside of noon kickoffs, Kevin Thomas, for your Clemson Tigers, what's one thing that leaves you a little bit disappointed? Is listen, we can discuss this stuff now. We are down to the final week of the 2018 regular season in college football.
You know, I think you said, you know, with Clemson, the big disappointment, obviously, you know, the noon games were frustrating. But just I was hoping that at some point, somebody on the schedule would be really good to give us like a big matchup throughout the year. You know, maybe you know, NC State was ranked, but I mean, they weren't great. You know, same thing with the, I mean, South Carolina.
The A&M game, great. Is that what you're thinking of?
A&M
game was a solid game.
Yeah, I wish somebody later on in the year, yeah. I guess, would have gave us a big right. matchup. You know, because we've played
once Trevor took over starting line, but however, he didn't make it at halftime in that Syracuse game. That may be the game that really caused that team to grow up this year.
Yeah.
And it was that fourth down pass from Chase Brice.
You know, it worries me that we've only played basically half a game with our starters.
That's the same thing that's bothering me about Alabama right now, because Diesel will give me credit. For 2 months now, I've been saying, what? This looks too easy. It looks too easy. Now we've seen that margin of error shrink when it comes to Alabama, and it's really Tua's knee, but I also think it's a disservice to everybody else out there in college football that, oh, it's Bama and everybody. You know what? This is why they play the game. This is why South Carolina is going to come in here on Saturday night and take their best shot. We'll see how it plays out, you know, but it's Herm Edwards said, this is why you play the game.
I would say probably my biggest disappointment with App State football this season is their inability to handle the pressure in the big situations. You had an opportunity at the beginning of the season to beat Penn State on the road, which would have been another program defining win. They played their hearts out, they played lights out in that game, and just didn't win it there at the end. But really, the pressure of getting ranked for the first time ever. Going into your rival's home stadium on a Thursday night and laying an egg and just getting absolutely pummeled.
Now that's your rival. Georgia Southern and App State goes back to the days of the Southern Conference and Southern Conference domination in football.
Sure.
But do you think about Georgia Southern 365 or just around when the game's coming up? I mean,
you have to, especially when that program.
Y'all mirror each other?
We do. We mirror each other in a lot of ways. Clearly we're better looking, so we're on the bright side of the mirror. But Serge rolling his eyes as I said that.
All righty then. Let's.
Why does this feel like the place at Six Flags with all the mirrors that make you look short, tall, fat, and everything else? So.
I don't know why they have to sprinkle some dirty ditch water on every single field they go to. We do have a lot in common with programs. We are tied at the hip. I have a feeling we're going to be in the future. So, you know.
But would it benefit you? First of all, traditions don't happen. Now, one of the few that has happened is that into the first quarter wave at Iowa up to the kids. But it takes a while for traditions to develop. Same thing with rivalries. I think they'd like to force a little one with Charlotte down App State's throat right mm-hmm. now, but can it happen?
Would it
benefit App State?
I think App State fans want East Carolina to be our annual rival. Charlotte wants App to be their annual rival. I don't know.
So everybody hates App.
With the with the Sun Belt, still they're trying to figure it out, man. They just had a shakeup in their scheduling by switching to a two division league with a conference championship game. They're trying to figure this thing out. I hope that Georgia Southern becomes an end of the season rivalry. Put it on rivalry weekend. Though at the same time, it gets more eyeballs when you don't play it during rivalry weekend because everybody else is focused on their rival.
Well, of course, I mean, I don't mean to be, but you know, App State Georgia Southern's not going to get the same kind of play that Alabama Auburn, Clemson, that's, South Carolina, and things of that nature.
So it makes sense to play it on. Yep. To not play it on everyone else's rivalry weekend.
All right. Big thing in about 5 minutes, you can go to ESPN and hear the college football playoff, watch the college football playoff poll. Here's the thing. No drama. I don't even think they can manufacture any tonight. Now, the biggest thing to me, I would have UCF up number 8, if not even further. I like making fun of them right now. We kind of called them, you know, the little dog that bites at your ankles, you know, that hangs out with Spike right now. But at this point in time, much like Clemson winning games in a row like they have, there's something to be said for that. I don't think a two-loss team should be in front of Central Florida.
No, and that was a very impressive win for the Golden Knights Saturday night.
That changed my mind a little bit Saturday.
Good defensive performance, yeah.
We will not call them at any point moving forward the defending national champion anymore because I went and looked up at that poll, and you should hate that poll, Kevin.
Uh-oh.
Because guess why? Your Clemson Tigers are not the 2016 national champions.
Great. Here we go.
No, that poll gave it to Alabama.
Who are these guys? Where do they come from?
4 out of the last 7 years, they've had a different result than the actual national champion. So
you brought this up, Sturge, and we brought this. We had a conversation off the air about this earlier in the show. Is it possible? And it all depends on what the College Football Playoff Committee does tonight. Is it possible that UCF has a shot into the College Football Playoff? I say yes, because here's what happens: if they put themselves in the top 10. Because they are sitting at number 8 in the AP poll right now. Is that correct? We're going into rivalry weekend. Anything can happen. Rivalry weekend.
Okay.
Rivalry weekend.
That's how I say it.
We're going into rivalry weekend. Anything could happen in those games. Yeah. So it's very possible that Auburn plays out of their minds and beats Alabama. It's very possible that Georgia Tech plays out of their mind and takes down Georgia. And then you got conference championship games the following week, in which you are playing a very tough opponent. So it's possible that some of those teams ahead of them. I still think a one loss Clemson is still clearly a more attractive candidate than an undefeated UCF. A one loss Alabama is still a better team than a UCF. But what if chaos reigns? What if one or two of those teams takes two losses? That could put UCF in the playoff picture.
Yeah, I just somehow in my gut cannot think that you're going to see a college football playoff with both Notre Dame and a Group of Five team in there. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think the guys would just come down and say, oh, well, you know, the eye test. Clemson and Alabama are clearly better, so I don't think they'd ever put those guys in
what if they're two lost teams?
That's a great point. Now, if you want to see this happen, you're a UCF fan, you pull for South Carolina Saturday night. You pull for Georgia Tech Saturday. You pull for Auburn.
You pull for chaos.
You want chaos, and if you really wanted something big to happen, somehow go spike the water with the Georgia Southern stuff out in Los Angeles and see Southern Cal upset Notre Dame. That's probably the biggest thing that could fall UCF's way when all is said and done.
Well, if one or two or three of those teams takes a loss in this upcoming weekend and UCF still doesn't get in, I think it proves flat out that the playoff committee will not, under any circumstances, put a Group of Five team in.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to give you your first $100 to your documentary, your conspiracy documentary.
It's time to sue. Yep. It's time to, and you know, I don't like the way UCF has gone about it, but they've done what they've needed to do. They've made the noise that they needed to make to get enough attention for themselves to be put in this position. So I don't like that their fans are as chippy as they are. I don't like that their athletic director is as chippy as he is. But you know what? It's gotten attention. It's been effective. Yeah. good for them.
All right. Tomorrow we'll be back in studio. Mark Childress will be with us. I know we'll have a catch up with Eric Boynton of the Spartanburg Herald Journal and try to catch up with Jordan Coons from the Swamp Rabbits. They'll be on the road this weekend. And of course, just have some fun the day before we're out for Turkey Day. So have a blessed evening. Thank you, Kevin Thomas. Give him a follow at K_Mart10 and Diesel at Diesel on Radio. Have a blessed evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4:00.